This morning I hear him saying, come and taste my kingdom. Come and try my living word. Come and let me reveal myself to you in the crisis of your life. Not only in the crisis, but the joy and the peace and the love that we're walking in and experiencing here. This moment. I always felt like God was trying to get me from point A to point B in my walk in the kingdom. But I've come to learn that God is interested in where you are right now, this moment. Receptivity, and response. He is seeking fellowship, as I was saying last night, with us. And I felt like when I got back to the room, got still, that I had been last night was more serious than I wanted it to be. And I was affirmed in my spirit that the message that I gave last night was given in the urgency, the spirit of urgency that it was meant to be. And I hope that we are coming here this morning with and approaching this day in that sense of anticipation and expectancy for what He has for us today. Because He has a wellspring. I believe that one day when we get to the pearly gates, when we step into the kingdom, and we find what was available to us in this realm, that we're going to be totally shocked. I had a vision one time of I was praying about God's warehouse and His storehouse. He talks about a provision. And He gave me a vision, and it reminded me of the warehouses I've seen since then and on TV about the military warehouses they have out in the deserts. This mile after mile after mile of anything pertaining to the government that we need. The bandages and the ammunition and the vehicles and the tires and the batteries and everything that it takes. But God's storehouse is endless. And we just, in our ignorance, in our not trusting in Him, we don't partake of what is available to us. And I was praying about that, and I seemed to hear most of our barrier between us and receiving what God has for us is our identification. What are you identified with? I've been around folks, and I've even done it myself, that, you know, when you get sick and you have a problem, you're so focused on the problem that it blocks whatever God's trying to do to correct that problem. Instead of focusing on God, we're focused on the cancer or the sick one or the financial problem we have or that enormous electric bill we got last month. Getting the kids educated and in college, through college, all of these things that we face in our day-to-day lives. We get identified with our problems instead of the problem solver. Why do you suppose it is we spend so much time thinking about the things that we don't want to happen rather than the things that we do want to happen? How many times have we gotten the sniffles and they say, "Oh Lord, looks like I'm catching a cold," and we stop by the drugstore on the way home, we get our box of Kleenex and our antihistamine and our nose drops, and we go home and wait for the cold to set in. I mean, we laugh at that, but that's, if you really look at it, that's the attitude many of us walk in instead of expecting God to heal us. Expecting and going to the storehouse that God has for us. I want to read a scripture this morning. This old Bible and I have been a lot of miles together. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou willest." And he said to his disciples and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again for the second time he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying these same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Jesus, my understanding of what that says, is that Jesus was not afraid to die. He wasn't afraid to go to the cross and be nailed to it in the pain and agony and trauma that he was about to endure. You see, Jesus had all his whole life, his experience here on this earth, and I'm sure before, his whole identification was with his Father. And now he knew that he was going to be crucified and become the husband to the bride of Christ. He was about to be married to the dirtiest, filthiest slut that we can all imagine. And his identification was going to be shifted or split. And he was going to have to change his whole identity. He was about to become associated with us. And that was strange to him. Through his death on that cross, we became the bride of Christ. And in the laws of marriage, what belongs to the husband belongs to the wife. And what belongs to the wife belongs to the husband. Through his action on that cross, the results of that is that we have the what was everything that was Jesus's is ours, and everything that ours is his. Who got the better part of the deal? And as we begin to realize that what is Jesus is mine, and what mine is Jesus's, as we begin to realize that, we begin to grow. We begin to understand. We begin to realize the love of our Heavenly Father through this relationship. How can I put this? Most times, in most of our lives, at some point, and some of us walk in it daily, we become like the street person who married a millionaire. And everything that's hers is his, and whatever his is hers. And yet, she'll take her grocery cart and go into the alleys and the dumpsters digging out stuff, supply, rather than looking to her husband. That dishonors her husband by her doing that, not trusting him and not letting him supply her with her needs, as it is with Jesus. We dishonor him when we don't receive those things that he has provided for us. And we don't trust him. And we don't look to him. And we don't give him our messes and our foolishness. What a wonderful marriage. We have to be very careful what we identify with. I used to, when Joyce Carol and I first got married, I was, Joyce Carol is not an introvert. and she was wearing me out. Or I was letting her wear me out. And I was praying, Lord, can't you just turn that down just a notch? And I was really having a struggle with it. Joyce Carol's a perfectionist. One time when we first got married, I was sleeping in on a Saturday morning, and she made the bed up with me in it. I bought a book on how to live with a perfectionist. It helped. Where was that going? Joyce Carol and I was saying those prayers, asking the Lord to tone her down some, and I heard just as clear as I'm talking to you now, you pray to be the husband Joyce Carol needs. That's one of those life-changing epiphanies that we realize. And I recommend it to all you married people and those young people. Don't believe that you're going to find somebody and he'll have some quirks, and you say, well, we'll straighten that. I'll straighten that out when we get married. Marriage is talked about a lot in the Bible. There's a real sacrament in our marriage. And there's, I think the Lord deals with us a lot through our marriages and each other. And it's important. But identification. Joyce Carol and I can get so identified, used to, we don't do it so much anymore, we don't have the energy. We'd get so identified with each other that, you know, if Joyce Carol was pouting, I'd pout. You know, if she'd be up and happy, then I'd be up and happy. And vice versa. You know, your attitude affects the other when you're so identified. Yes. Well, you tell them about, never mind. Huh? Oh, well, we'll get into that later. I got you. It's been a hoot being married to that woman, I tell you. Jesus was so identified with his Father that it was really difficult for him to take on the bride of Christ. And it's important that we learn what that identification is, what that marriage meant in our lives. Look at it that way. When I was a young man, my dad was about my size. I look a lot like him. And my mama would always say, "Oh, you daddy-looking thing, you. You have mannerisms much like his. You look like him." He said, "You're just like your daddy. You are." And I heard that dozens of times in my upbringing. The problem with that was my dad got sick and died at 67 years old. And it was diabetes and heart problems. And when I was in my 50s, I started getting adult onset diabetes and heart problems. And I went to visit, I was up at Duke University going through some testing up there, and I went over and saw Tommy Lewis. Some of you remember him. He's an old CFO speaker. I saw him just a couple of months ago, and they're doing great. Tommy's still got a home group going and still is as dynamic and powerful as he ever was. But he wasn't with me 5 minutes, and he said, "Stan, tell me about your daddy." And I was stumbling around trying to think what he was asking me, and he said, "You're identified with your father, aren't you?" And I thought, "Well, let me think about it a minute." And I remembered what my mama used to say. And he said, "We need to pray about that and break that identification. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get identified with him in a deeper, more meaningful way." It's amazing what our subconscious did. I don't know whether I mentioned this last night or yesterday or not, but Glenn talked about hinds feet in high places and the importance of the way the deer walked with one their hind feet tracking exactly where their front foot set, and the sure-footedness, and by this sure-footedness they were able to go higher into the mountains. And said that our mind is like the feet of that deer. The front feet being our conscious mind and the back feet being our subconscious mind. That if our subconscious and our conscious minds are tracking one another, in sync with one another, then we're able to go to greater heights and greater understanding in the kingdom. Out of our mouth comes the issues of our conscious mind, and out of our heart, out of our subconscious mind, is the issues of our heart, the things that really control us. And we all have issues in our subconscious that we're not even aware of. But I know that if we're more identified with Jesus every day, then our subconscious begins to release all of these things, like that story I told you last night about being in the Garden of Eden. There was this little subconscious, just a little layer there that was, it was hindering something, and it's just full of those kind of things. So search us, O Lord, and reveal to us those issues that separate us from total relationship with our Heavenly Father. Get identified. Isn't it wonderful to know that what He was, He is? Jesus. What He said, He's saying. Precious Jesus. And what He did, He's doing. Precious Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and ever has been, and ever will be. It's the only sure thing that we have in our lives. If we can learn to stand on that truth and on that foundation and in that strength of our trust and our faith and our knowing and our greater knowing that Glenn kept pointing to. Greater knowing. What is your sincere heart's desire for today? Let's continue this week every day, offering ourselves afresh and anew to Lord, to our Lord Jesus, to our Abba Father. Open ourselves to what the Spirit is saying to us. Look higher, look above the obvious circumstances that we see. Learn to look through the eyes of Jesus. It's important to see things in a different perspective and get out of our tunnel, get identified with Jesus moment by moment. Focus on the positive, on the solution. Focus on the fact that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Focus on trusting in the Lord in all our ways and allow Him to direct our paths. Learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Moving in the Spirit, it'll save you lots and lots of trouble. And when you're trusting and listening, you're going to find that there's a lot less anxieties and a lot less mistakes that we make in our walk on moment by moment, day by day. God is interested in the now, not in tomorrow. But where are you now? Are you trusting in Him? Are you looking to Him? The radical way of Jesus is the most radical way that you'll ever go. It's important that we learn to do that. The way of Jesus is a way of self-sacrificing. It's a way of giving up our selfness, laying our lives down for our fellow man. Jesus laid His life down for us, and what Jesus did, said, we are called to do. We've been playing at being Christians, folks. It's time to get serious. And it's not easy. In our day-to-day walk, we're just broadsided every hour of the day with advertisements, music, billboard signs. Everything is designed to distract ourselves away from God and towards our own vanity. I've never seen so many ED commercials and cosmetic commercials and pills. Every other advertisement on TV is pushing a pill, and the disclaimers at the end are longer than the commercial itself. I wouldn't dare take some of those things they're talking about. It scared me to death. But isn't it amazing how all of that, so much of what we are exposed to in the environment that we move and operate in every day is designed to point towards our own vanity, to appeal to our ego and our pride and our looks and our everything external. But what's important is what's internal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I remember my adopted son Matthew when he was a little boy. He'd be out there playing cowboys and Indians or something. And he'd be so engrossed in playing the role that he was playing that it would be hard to get him out of that role. And I found, you know, when you start analyzing that a little bit, how identified do you get when you're into something? It's amazing how our mind controls us like. It's hard to break old thought patterns. I think I've said enough about that, and you know that now. So do it. I don't want to have to come back up here and tell you this again. The last time I was up here, I taught you all about grit, the benefits of grits, the benefits of orange juice, and what we have, a synthetic orange juice and no grits. that mission was absolutely useless. I can stand up here and tell y'all about Jesus all day. Y'all know everything there is to know about Jesus. The key now is when you know about Jesus, is you have to let Jesus flow. You're called to be exactly like Him. Let's start seeing it in each other. Let that light shine, that love shine. Be so filled with love that there's no room for the sickness and the mess that we deal with every day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for the rhythms and the creatives this morning. We thank You for the prayer groups. Prepare our hearts to receive. We live in expectancy today. We anticipate Your presence. We anticipate Your moving in our spirits. We say, have Thy way with us today, Lord. Teach us to be the bride of Christ that You need, Jesus. Jesus, to be like Jesus, all my life is to be like Him. Over my journey, Jesus is saying, come and taste my kingdom. Come and try my living word. Come and let me reveal myself to you in the crisis of your life. Amen.